You know, if you're driving down the highway in the Western Cape, on your left, you might see a bustling new commercial zone, right? And on your right, there's just a protected, completely empty green belt.
Yeah, and it looks totally like natural geography, but it's actually, well, it's a strict legally binding blueprint.
Right, which is exactly what we are getting into for today's deep dive. We're looking at the Western Cape's 2012 Provincial Spatial Development Framework, or PSDF, because we really want to uncover those invisible lines that dictate, you know, where a new neighborhood or a power grid actually goes.
Calling it a blueprint almost makes it sound too simple, honestly, because the province isn't just looking at a flat map. A spatial development framework is, well, it's this massive forward planning machine.
Right, it stacks different layers of data, doesn't it?
Exactly. It stacks three distinct layers of data to figure out where to put things and just ensure the best outcomes for people. So the foundation is the biophysical layer that maps out, you know, climate, vegetation, geology, agricultural land.
Great. And then on top of that sits the socioeconomic layer.
Yeah, the socioeconomic layer, which tracks human realities, so health, crime, employment trends, stuff like that. And then finally, you drop in the built environment layer.
Which is housing, waste, energy, transport, infrastructure. It's
Exactly.
literally like playing a highly complex game of SimCity. Like, you can't just plop down a housing zone without first checking the underground water layers and, I guess, overlaying local employment trends.
That is a perfect way to look at it. But instead of just fighting your game budget, you're fighting constitutional court rulings and, well, physical underground realities.
Right.
So you want to place a commercial zone, but those stacked layers dictate strict go, maybe, and no-go areas for investment. The whole point is to guide what municipalities are actually allowed to do.
Which makes sense because these layers dictate the physical reality of a province. And I mean, in South Africa, that carries massive historical weight.
It really does. A core objective here is restructuring settlements to actively reverse the legacy of apartheid. Spatial engineering was it was weaponized in the past to divide communities by design.
Right, so now spatial planning is being used as a constitutional remedy, basically, to integrate them and improve access to economic opportunities. But wait, what I found wild about this specific framework is that they completely overhauled it in 2012.
Yeah, when the ink was barely dry on the previous 2009 version.
Exactly. Why was the framework being updated so fast? I mean, it wasn't just outdated population data, was it?
No, not at all. It was actually a full-blown legal fight over who gets to draw the lines. There were new court judgments that fundamentally shifted the understanding of the Constitution regarding urban planning.
Wait, so urban planning isn't just about good design or geography. It's actually a constitutional balancing act over who legally has the power to mandate development.
That is exactly what it is. The rulings clarified the division of powers between provincial and municipal planning. Certain directives in the 2009 framework were suddenly found to be inconsistent with the Constitution.
Oh, wow. So it created a jurisdictional tug of war.
Yeah, a huge turf war over who had the power. So to settle that and get everyone moving in the same direction, the 2012 framework relies on these 12 Provincial Strategic Objectives, or PSOs.
Right. So like PSO6, which focuses on developing integrated human settlements, that ties right back to the goal of restructuring the province for better access.
Exactly. And then you have directives like PSO7, which mandates mainstreaming sustainability. Now, I know mainstreaming sustainability sounds like classic corporate jargon,
Totally does.
but on the ground, it acts as a physical veto. It means if a municipality wants to build a new high-density housing block, but that block sits over a crucial underground aquifer mapped in the biophysical layer, the aquifer wins.
Oh, so the housing just doesn't get built.
Right. The environmental and social realities dictate the physical development rather than the other way around.
That is so fascinating. So the next time you navigate your city, you know, when you commute from a residential block to a commercial center or drive past an empty piece of land, realize the layout isn't an accident.
No, it's a meticulously coordinated stacking of legal, social, and environmental blueprints. Very intentional.
Which really leaves us with this to think about. If our spatial frameworks establish these rigid go and no-go zones that dictate exactly where homes, schools, and businesses are built, how much of your daily routine is actually your own free choice, and how much was predetermined by a planner's layered map decades ago?